Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I'll hand the meeting over to your host, Gladys Dutruff. You may begin.
Good morning. I hereby call to order this 14th meeting of the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission for the year 2020. We will not be pledging to the American flag during this telephonic meeting. We do, however, ask that everyone please keep the citizens of our state and country in your thoughts and prayers during this ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. At this time, I would like to take a roll call of my fellow commissioners who are joining us on the phone. Commissioner Ralph Unora, please say that you're present.
Present.
Commissioner John Coleman.
Good morning.
Vice Chairman David Sweet.
Here.
Thank you very much. At today's meeting, which is open to the public, the Commission will act on various matters. There is no opportunity for the public to address the Commission at this public meeting. We appreciate your patience as we continue to work together in these unique circumstances presented by the pandemic. Due to the COVID-19 emergency, the PUC office buildings are closed. The Commission remains fully operational with personnel working remotely. The public meeting motions, statements, and audio also will be available on the Commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. The first matter on this morning's agenda is the approval of the minutes for August 27, 2020, and I will call upon Vice Chairman Sweet, who is the editor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've reviewed the minutes of the public meeting of August 27, 2020, and move that they be approved as submitted.
You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet for the approval of the minutes. Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion or further edits? Hearing none. All those in favor of the approval of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0. At this time, I will now turn it over to our Secretary, Rosemary Chiavetta, who will lead us through this morning's agenda.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. And happy birthday, Mr. Vice Chairman. Your bureaus and offices have prepared the following agenda for your consideration. Therefore, let us begin on page one with matters presented by Director Monahan and the Bureau of Audits. It is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page one, beginning with the report of LIFT's implementation plan, and continuing the omnibus on page two, and ending with the annual report for audits for fiscal year 2019 through 2020.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page three and matters presented by Director Sophie and the Office of Special Assistance, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page three, beginning with the formal complaint of John Klein versus PPL Electric Utilities, and continuing the omnibus to include both items on page four and both items on page five, and ending the omnibus at the top of page six with the formal complaint of Gary Utter versus the Metropolitan Edison Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Finally, at the bottom of page six, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the application of MVA Transit, LLC.
Is there a motion to adopt a staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, David Sweet, I would like to be recorded in the negative on this recommendation. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
I also will be voting aye. Any opposed?
Opposed. Sweet.
The motion passes 3-1, noting the dissent of Vice Chairman Sweet.
Turning to page 7, it is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of Karen Tortorella versus the PICO Energy Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Unora, so moved.
Coleman.
I heard Commissioner Unora move. Commissioner Coleman, do you want a second?
Yes, I will second.
Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, David Sweet, I have a statement on the matter.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. Before the Commission are the exceptions filed by Karen Tortorella to the initial decision of Administrative Law Judge Marta Gould, which found that Ms. Tortorella was not eligible for a payment arrangement based on the income she reported at the time of the evidentiary hearing and the existence of a prior payment arrangement. In her exceptions, Ms. Tortorella states that the income she had at the hearing was now drastically reduced, and therefore she now meets the standard for a second payment arrangement or an extension of the prior payment arrangement. This fact situation shines a spotlight on why the Commission's standard complaint process is not well-suited to cover payment arrangement cases. Often, a complainant's income fluctuates significantly after the formal record has closed, but no new evidence may be considered at that point. Therefore, new evidence submitted with exceptions cannot be considered and relied upon by the Commission. However, unlike cases which depend upon a specific set of facts at a particular time, subsequent requests following a default of a Commission-issued payment arrangement may be considered when there is a significant change in circumstances or a change in income meeting the definitions in the Public Utility Code. In this case, if Ms. Tortorella can prove that she has experienced such a change, she may be eligible for some relief under the terms of Chapter 14. Accordingly, I encourage her to examine the requirements and consider filing another complaint. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Sweet. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Continuing on page 7. It is recommended that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order in the formal complaint of Michelle Lescoflaire versus the Philadelphia Gas Works.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I again have a statement.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you. Before the Commission of the exceptions of Michelle Lescoflaire to the initial decision of Administrative Law Judge Joseph Brady, which dismissed her complaint with prejudice after she failed to appear at the scheduled evidentiary hearing, I recognize that the initial decision is legally sound and that the Commission is within its rights to deny the exception. But under the unique circumstances of this case, we would also be within our rights to grant Ms. Lescoflaire another hearing. In fact, it was her lack of utility service that allegedly played a large part in this matter, as she left her home because of no hot water, presumably because her gas service had been terminated. This fact caused her to miss picking up the hearing notice and pre-hearing order in time to participate in the hearing. It is unfair for the commission to deny her the ability to seek a payment arrangement to pay her utility bill because she had no utility service. Accordingly, I would grant the exceptions and remand the case for the scheduling of another hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Sweet. I do have a statement and ask that my statement be placed upon the record in its entirety. Many of the things that I was going to state have been part of what Vice Chairman Sweet had just talked about. As you know, I have been a commissioner many times making statements from the bench about pro se complainants and their ability to handle the entire process for us. I know, as Vice Chairman Sweet stated, she had some difficulty with her water and did not have hot water, and so she was back and forth in the residence. And I believe that that excuse given by the complainant is sufficient to allow the commission to offer some leniency and remand the matter. At a minimum, the matter could have been dismissed, but not with prejudice. Any further comments on the case? Hearing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Sweet opposed.
I will be voting aye, but noting my concerns about dismissing with prejudice. So the motion passes 3-1, noting Vice Chairman Sweet's dissent.
Turning to page 8, it is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt both items on page 8, beginning with the formal complaint of the Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement versus Lehigh Valley Transportation Services, and ending with the petition of Twin Lakes Utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 9, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 9, beginning with the joint petition of Verizon Pennsylvania and Eureka Telecom, and continuing the omnibus on page 10 to include both items on page 10 and both items on page 11, ending the omnibus with the joint petition of Verizon North and New Edge Networks.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Sweet, second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? I will state for the record, as I have stated in the past couple of meetings, as it relates to the interconnection agreements, I once again repeat my concern about the importance of a timely compliance with our implementation order.
Turning to page 12, and matters presented by director.
We have to take.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chairman. You do the vote. I'm sorry.
So, if there's no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0, noting my comments in terms of timely filings.
Turning to page 12. And matters presented by Director Diskin and the Bureau of Technical Utility Services. It is recommended in an omnibus motion that the Commission adopt both items on page 12, beginning with the petition of the PPL Sustainable Energy Fund, approving Dr. Shankar and Dr. Zverko to the Board of Directors, and continuing the omnibus to include both items on page 13, and all three items on page 14, and all three items on page 15, ending the omnibus with the evaluation of proposals to select the Alternative Energy Portfolio Standards Program Administrator.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Unora, so moved.
Is there a second?
A Sweet second.
Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 16 and matters presented by Chief Counsel Hicks and the Law Bureau, it is recommended that the Commission adopt in an omnibus motion both items on page 16, beginning with the petition for declaratory order filed by Upper Pottsgrove Township and ending with the petition for waiver filed by PPL Electric Utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendations?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 17 and matters presented by Chief ALJ Rainey and the Office of Administrative Law Judge, it is recommended that the Commission adopt Deputy Chief ALJ Pell's recommended decision in the rate case settlement of UGI Utilities.
Is there a motion to adopt a staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a
Sweet
second?
Sweet second.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any discussion? Under discussion, I do have a statement and ask that my statement be placed upon the record as if I read it in its entirety. Before the Commission is the recommended decision of ALJ Judge Christopher Pell pertaining to the joint petition for approval of unopposed settlement of all issues on the base rate proceeding of UGI Utilities, the gas division. In my statement, I would just like to commend UGI and the Office of Consumer Advocate, Office of Small Business Advocate, and the Commission's Bureau of Investigation and Enforcement, and all the other parties in the proceeding for reaching a joint settlement, which I believe is definitely in the public interest. Many items that are provided are of interest to me, and they include waiver, especially during the time of this pandemic, and providing services. They provide for waiver of late fees, enhanced customer outreach and screening activities for CAP or LIHEAP eligibility, suspension of CAP recertification requirements, enhanced communications with residential and non-residential customers, allowance for self-certification of income for CAP activity, and expanding access to UGI Gas Operation Share grant program. During these extraordinary times, I believe measures like these and, you know, agreed upon by the parties here are necessary and prudent to ensure reasonable access to service and to protect public health. And again, I just want to applaud the parties, including UGI, for reaching these terms. Thank you. Is there any further comments? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Continuing on page 17, it is recommended that the Commission adopt ALJ Brady's recommended decision in the purchase gas cost filing of the PECO Energy Company's gas division.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Sweet, so moved.
Is there a second?
Unora, second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Turning to page 18, it is recommended that the Commission adopt ALJ Haas's recommended decision in the formal complaint of NetSpeed LLC versus the Duquesne Light Company.
Is there a motion to adopt a staff recommendation?
Coleman, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Unora.
Motion by Commissioner Coleman, second by Commissioner Unora. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I have a motion on this matter.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This case involves the withdrawal of a complaint by NetSpeed against Duquesne Light Company, hereinafter Duquesne. NetSpeed filed a formal complaint against Duquesne, the pole owner, challenging Duquesne's pole attachment permitting and fee practices. Following extensive discovery and unsuccessful mediation, NetSpeed filed a motion to stay the proceeding and a petition for leave to withdraw. In its motion, NetSpeed requested that the proceeding be stayed pending a decision on its petition, in which it sought permission to withdraw the complaint to better conserve its resources. Pursuant to our regulation 52 PA code 5.94 small a, the ALJ reviewed the petition, lack of objection, and the public interest in determining whether to permit withdrawal of the complaint. The ALJ found that, quote, since this is an individual complaint case, there will be no adverse impact on the public interest in granting the complainant's petition to withdraw its complaint, close quote. He further concluded that, quote, granting the petition will terminate the litigation, saving the parties the costs in time and money, and conserve administrative hearing resources, close quote. We disagree with the ALJ's assessment of the public interest based on the involvement of an individual complainant. It is erroneous to conclude that a single formal complaint cannot implicate the public interest. Similarly, it would be error to conclude that no harm to the public interest may arise simply because one complainant seeks to address an alleged harm. Here, the complainant wishes to withdraw its formal complaint. No party objects, and we agree that administrative economy directs that continued litigation of the matter is no longer in the public interest. It is sufficient to conclude that, under the circumstances, the request to withdraw is reasonable and in the public interest, and on that basis, we grant the complainant's petition. Therefore, I move that, number one, the individual decision be amended consistent with this motion. Two, the initial decision be affirmed in other respects and withdrawal of the complaint be permitted. And three, the Office of Special Assistance prepare an opinion and order consistent with this motion. Thank you.
You have heard the motion of Vice Chairman Sweet. Is there a second to the motion?
Unora, second. Coleman.
I heard a second by Commissioner Unora first. Sorry, Commissioner Coleman. any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0. On the matter, as amended by the motion, is there any objection to taking the previous roll call? Hearing no objection, the matter as amended passes 4-0.
Madam Chairman, that concludes the regular agenda. Turning to the carry-in agenda, on page one of the carry-in, there is your motion, Madam Chairman, regarding the Commission's emergency order establishing a termination moratorium.
Thank you. I will ask Vice Chairman Sweet to preside.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You are recognized for the purposes of offering your motion.
Thank you very much. I will ask that my entire motion be spread upon the record in its entirety, and I will do my best to streamline it, but I do ask for your patience. So on March 6th of this year, Governor Wolf issued a proclamation of disaster emergency that identified COVID-19, the COVID-19 pandemic, as a disaster emergency affecting the entire Commonwealth. On March 13th, we, relying on the proclamation of the Commission's authority under the provisions of 1501, or shall I say I, issued an emergency order establishing a prohibition on the termination of public utility services and directing the reconnection of service to customers previously terminated to the extent that it could be done safely for the duration of the proclamation or until a time otherwise established by the Commission. Currently, Pennsylvania's COVID-19 daily diagnosis statistics remain high, and many businesses are not operating at full capacity, which means that our economy is still exhibiting a downturn. However, the situation has improved since earlier this year in that the governor, under the advisement of Secretary of Health Rachel Levine, has lifted the shelter-in-place directive and permitted the reopening of businesses in each of our 67 counties. Of significance, the Commonwealth's unemployment numbers have improved from 16.1% in April of this year to 10.3% in August of this year. As the pandemic and economic situation has evolved, I believe that it is time for the Commission's March 13th emergency order to also evolve. The moratorium on utility service terminations was the right decision to make in March, but the moratorium cannot be the sole solution for assisting vulnerable utility customers. Many other states have moved and are moving from moratoriums by designing plans to assist payment trouble customers keeping utility service. Moving from an absolute moratorium to a less restrictive phase, while still acknowledging that the pandemic and its economic effects have not disappeared, requires us to put in place a mix of holistic short-term and long-term solutions to offer customer protections, ensure that the payment of bills from customers that are able to pay those. With this motion, my goal is to put customer protections in place that can work for the short term. However, none of us know how long we are going to have to live with this pandemic and its economic consequences. And for those reasons, we must also convene a stakeholder process to consider whether longer-term options may be needed and whether today's actions are serving the public interest. It is vital that utilities inform customers they are behind in payment and at risk of termination so that those customers can be evaluated for participation in various assistance programs, LIHEAP, CAP programs, Lifeline, hardship funds, and the nature. Over my tenure at the Commission, I have often encouraged utilities to work with customers before their accounts get to a point that it's impossible for customers to overcome. And I would be remiss if I didn't apply the same logic to this situation. Customers with arrears need to contact their utilities to seek available assistance. So in terms of evolving our emergency order, I am proposing that the absolute utility service moratorium is lifted and disconnections may commence effective November 9, 2020. 10-day termination notices pursuant to our code may be sent after the issuance of a 10-day communication provided for in this order. The following modifications to existing termination policies shall apply to all electric, natural gas, water, wastewater, telecommunications, and steam utilities subject to the Commission's jurisdiction. So, number one, upon the entry of an order implementing this motion, utilities shall issue at least a one-time communication to customers whose unpaid balances will put them at risk of termination after the lifting of the moratorium. I emphasize that this communication shall include things like informing the customer that they're at risk for termination after the moratorium is lifted, also indicate a general time range when customers will likely be terminated unless the customer takes appropriate action or appropriate steps. Inform the customer of available options, including the customer's right to file an informal complaint with the Commission if the customer is not satisfied with the arrangement offered by the utility. And also that the communication be sent to the customers at least 10 days prior to the issuance of a standard 10-day termination notice under Section 1406B. Of our code. Secondly, unless otherwise authorized by the Commission, a utility shall not terminate service to residential customers at 300% and below of the federal poverty income guidelines. And those customers hereafter in this motion will be referred to as protected customers. To receive protection from termination, a protected customer must apply for all assistance programs for which the customer is eligible and must request a payment arrangement from the utility if appropriate. A protected customer denied a stay by the utility may file a complaint with the commission for review of the utility's decision. 3, unless otherwise authorized by the commission, a utility shall offer a payment arrangement for a period of no less than 18 months to small business customers as defined by the utility's tariff with past due amounts. A small business customer which remains current on its payment arrangement and current bill shall not be terminated. A small business customer which is denied a payment arrangement by a utility may file a complaint with the commission. 4, utilities shall waive all connection, reconnection, and deposit fees otherwise required for service for protected customers. 5, utilities shall waive late payment charges for protected customers. 6, utilities shall accept at least 2 additional medical certificates for eligible customers who may have otherwise exhausted the 3 available under our code. 7, utilities and the Commission's Bureau of Consumer Services shall accept income verification and business status information obtained through flexible means, for example, over the phone or through email, for the purpose of qualifying customers for protected status, payment arrangements, or universal service programs. 8, the Commission recognizes that compliance with the March 13th 2020 emergency order and this motion may increase expenses for utilities. So consistent with our March 13th secretarial letters, utilities shall continue tracking extraordinary, non-recurring, incremental COVID-19 related expenses and shall maintain detailed accounting records of such expenses. 9, utilities shall report the following information to the Commission. The information shall first be filed by the 15th of December, relevant to the preceding month, and thereafter shall be filed by the 15th of each following month until this requirement is revised or lifted by the Commission. The information that they shall report shall be separated by residential and commercial accounts, and it is as follows. A total number of residential and non-residential accounts at risk of termination at the end of the month and for the same month the year prior. A total aggregate dollars of arrears broken down by the same amount categories at the end of the month and for the same month of the year prior, and the number of residential and small commercial accounts disconnected for nonpayment with dollar amounts owed. Now, I understand that various utilities are already undertaking some of these protections that I just laid out for you, and I do really thank them for their actions. The Commission approved COVID-19 customer protection plans will remain in effect in accordance with their individual terms. Because of the dynamic nature of the pandemic, the Commission will revisit these protections during the first quarter of 2020. Commission staff will request comments and proposals from interested parties regarding any revisions to the protections that I just outlined here. Responsive comments shall be due by February 16th of 2021. And I believe that this stakeholder process will refresh input from interested parties based upon the trajectory of the pandemic and the status of the economy at that time so that both customer and utility interests continue to be considered. Therefore, I move that, 1, the Commission's March 19, 2020 emergency order is modified consistent with this motion. 2, the paragraphs 2 through 9 of this motion shall remain in effect until the earlier of March 31st, 2021, the date on which the governor's emergency proclamation is rescinded, or a time otherwise established by the Commission. 2, the Commission's Law Bureau, with the assistance of the Bureau of Consumer Services and the Bureau of Technical Services, shall review any comments or proposals received from interested parties and provide a recommendation to the Commission. And 4, the Commission's Law Bureau shall prepare an opinion and order consistent with this motion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a second to the motion?
This is Coleman, second.
Okay, the motion has been properly moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? I do have a statement on the matter, which I will present. While I deeply respect Chairman Dutrell and the efforts she has made to develop her motion today, I cannot support the motion. My position throughout this pandemic has been consistent regarding how and when to end the moratorium on utility terminations that have been in place since March, and the action that the Commission takes today falls short of the conditions that I have articulated. I will not, again, go into detail on those, what I thought were sound conditions, but would refer anyone interested into my lengthy statement on last meeting regarding the petition from low-income advocates. Some of those conditions have been met, and I am happy to see that the moratorium will remain in place for those customers whose income is 300% or less of the federal poverty guidelines and for certain small businesses. But the motion sets March 31st, 2021, for the end of those protections, regardless of the state of the economy or the health of the populace at that time. And that I cannot support. I firmly believe that the moratorium should remain in place for those vulnerable customers until an evaluation of the circumstances that exist at the end of the winter, including but not limited to the state of the Commonwealth's health, the economy, particularly an unemployment rate, whether schools are open or classes are being held largely online, the availability of public resources to assist customers who cannot pay their bills, and whether citizens are free to move about without worrying about contracting the virus. This evaluation is crucial to protecting those customers who need it most. By choosing a date in the future, without any sound economic or health information to guide us, we run the very real risk of ending the protection at a time when circumstances may even be worse than we've experienced up to this point. Without a evaluation at the end of the winter, we simply do not know what we're facing, and the ramifications may be dire. After March 31, 2021, there is no plan in place, and there are no additional protections to protect low-income customers under this motion. Without continued protections for the most vulnerable customers in place, until a thorough evaluation of circumstances persuades me that lifting the moratorium for that class is justified, I cannot support such action. Accordingly, I will be voting no. Thank you. Are there any other comments or statements at this time?
Vice Chairman, this is Commissioner Coleman. I do have a couple of brief remarks.
You are recognized.
Thank you. First, I also want to thank the chairman for offering her motion this morning. And specifically, I want to thank the staff. This is, as we all know, has not been an easy path over the last several months. So I specifically wanted to thank the chairman's staff, Kim Barrow and Matt Wurst, Commissioner Unora's staff, and Sean Sparks and Rachel Maurer. And for my team, Shane Rooney and Tiffany Hunt, that really have been working on this nonstop over several months to get us to where we are this morning. I think it needs to be said again that no one benefits from terminating a customer. Certainly the utility does not benefit, the customer does not benefit, and this commission does not benefit from that. So I think it's important to understand that I think we all share the objective of minimizing terminations in this process, and that I think that needs to be said this morning. The second piece, and this is one that both the chairman and I have mentioned over time, what is happening here is those who are not paying a utility bill, their bills are accruing. It's not that they're being forgiven. The bill is accruing, and it is growing over time. And that in itself is of significant concern for those that are most vulnerable and most susceptible to a termination, that by having a mounting bill that goes month after month, and in some cases could be more than a year since we put the emergency order on, prior to the 2019 winter moratorium being in effect. So there are customers out there that have large and growing utility bills, and that's a concern. That's a significant concern, and the larger they get, the less likely it is that they're going to be able to overcome. So I think that is, in my mind, is really a driving factor in making sure that customers are incentivized to communicate with their utilities first and foremost. And I believe the way we do that is through issuing a termination notice to get the utility customer's attention and make sure that they are communicating with their utility and availing themselves of all of the programs that the chairman has articulated in her motion. In terms of those programs, as I said before, Pennsylvania is the gold standard. We have a wide array of programs, a very wide safety net for those that are most vulnerable and at risk of termination, and I think that that's important to mention as well this morning. The last item I would say is that I am reminded this morning of the sage advice of a good friend, and that advice is don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I think that the motion this morning is, as we know, is not the way that I had looked for it to go back in June when I offered a motion to do this incrementally. But I think it is important that we lift the moratorium and that we move in the direction that helps resolve this problem for all the parties involved. So for that reason, I will be supporting the motion this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Coleman. And is there any other comment? Hearing none.
Vice Chairman Sweet, I would like to make an additional comment if you
are recognized.
Indulge me for a moment. Thank you. I also echo what Commissioner Coleman said in terms of thanking the staff, and I wanted to make sure we included your staff, Sue Caldwell and Angela Cosman, who worked hard on these issues. And we, as commissioners, I've often said over the years that we're very passionate about our job and what we believe is best for the consumers that we're there to protect. And we don't always get to the same page, and in this case, we're not on the same page, but I still believe that we all have an interest in the consumers and trying to protect the consumers. And so I also know that that was my desire in terms of having this stakeholder process or having the ability of stakeholders to be able to provide additional comments to our staff to look at the long-term viewpoint of all of this to make recommendations to us. And I hope it's through that process that we are able to take the information that the utilities are giving us monthly and looking at how the pandemic is moving and the economic impact that it is having on consumers. So with that, I hope that we can put what we think is the most appropriate plan in place in the first quarter of next year. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can't resist just one additional comment, and I do appreciate your kind words about my staff and their hard work. And I agree that all involved in this are individuals of goodwill who are attempting to do what they believe is correct. I only wish that we had more than a hope that things will be fine on March 31st of 2021, and that this action will end up making sense. I hope that's the case, but in today's world, I find it difficult to urge thousands of people to share that hope, or to, more importantly, to rely on it. And I would feel a lot better today if some other governmental bodies outside of this one had helped to provide the resources that would be necessary for people to pay the arrearages that Commissioner Coleman discussed. Nothing in the action today really significantly assists in that. And I do hope very much that on March 31st of 2020, there are either sufficient public resources available for those who will then be at risk of termination, or that our economy is more robust than it is today and many of those people will be back to work. We will see. Thank you very much. Any other comments? If not, we'll have the vote. All those in favor of the chair's motion will say aye.
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 And I will be in the negative. So the vote on the motion is 3 in the affirmative, 1 dissenter, myself. Is there any objection to the same vote being recorded on the matter as modified by the chair's motion?
No objection.
Hearing no objection, the final vote is 3-1 in favor of the matter as amended. And, Chair, I turn the virtual gavel back to you.
Thank you very much. Madam Secretary?
Turning to page 2 of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Office of Special Assistance that the Commission adopt the proposed opinion and order regarding the expedited motion for an extension of the statutory suspension period in the application of Aqua Pennsylvania Wastewater to acquire the Delaware County Regional Water Quality Control Authority.
Is there a motion to adopt a staff recommendation?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vice Chairman Sweet, second by Commissioner Coleman. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Madam Chair, I'll be concurring in result only.
Okay. Any opposed? The motion passes 4-0, noting that Commissioner Unora is concurring in result only.
Okay. And finally, turning to page 3 of the carry-in, it is recommended by the Bureau of Technical Utility Services that the Commission adopt the proposed order in the joint petition of Metropolitan Edison, the Pennsylvania Electric Company, the Pennsylvania Power Company, and the West Penn Power Company.
Is there a motion to adopt the staff recommendation?
Unora, so moved.
Is there a second?
Coleman, second.
Motion by Commissioner Unora, second by Commissioner Coleman. Under discussion, I do have a motion to offer to amend the staff recommendation. So I'm going to turn it over to Vice Chairman Sweet again to preside.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're recognized.
I ask that my motion be spread upon the record in its entirety, as if I read it in its entirety. On August 19th, the four first energy companies, MetEd, Penn Power, Penelec, and West Penn, filed a joint petition for approval to modify their supplier master agreements. First Energy submits that the proposed change is necessary because PJM is not expected to conduct a base residual auction to determine the capacity price for the 2022-2023 delivery year before the First Energy companies upon default service auction, upcoming default service auction. This is not the first time the Commission has been asked to address the issue of market uncertainty surrounding future capacity prices in default service programs. The Commission modified Duquesne Light Company's service portfolio to shorten contracts which encompassed delivery periods lacking capacity price transparency. First Energy's petition seeks approval of a different approach. First Energy would utilize a proxy capacity price for each of the companies based on the average of the 2020 and 2021 and 2021 and 2022 PJM energy year capacity prices. The companies would reconcile the proxy price with actual capacity costs when they become known and hold its wholesale suppliers harmless. Direct Energy asked the Commission to reject the proposal and adopt a modification consistent with the outcome of the reference Duquesne petition. Direct contends that First Energy's proposal will lead to price distortions. In contrast, First Energy posits that its proposal will preserve the diversity of different fixed product lengths and mitigate the risk premium that would be realized in default service bids should the SMA not be revised. First Energy submits that this is consistent with the Commission's requirements to offer default service at the least cost over time through a prudent mix of contracts. First Energy also notes that its approval of similar revisions in neighboring jurisdictions of Maryland, New Jersey, and Ohio. Pennsylvania's diverse contingency of electric distribution companies often results in a diverse establishment of policies. In this instance, I believe the Commission's disposition to Duquesne's petition does not preclude us from considering and adopting alternative means to address this issue. To that end, I find the petition of First Energy persuasive, particularly given how this proposal will maintain the diversity of the company's default service contracts while mitigating embedded risk premiums. Consequently, I favor approval of the petition as filed. Therefore, I move that, one, the joint petition of Metropolitan Edison Company, Pennsylvania Electric Company, Pennsylvania Power Company, and West Penn Power Company for approval to modify their supplier master agreement be approved, and two, the Commission's Bureau of Technical Utility Services prepare an order consistent with this motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there a second? I will second the motion. Is there any further discussion on the matter? Okay, it has been properly moved and seconded that the motion be adopted. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor will say aye.
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 Any opposed? Do we have an abstention? Because I have heard from three commissioners, including myself. Hello, I do not know whether we're having a technical difficulty or whether Commissioner Coleman is choosing not to vote. Can you hear me, Commissioner Coleman?
He may have be having technical problems.
This is the secretary. Do you want to try to wait maybe a moment? He might be trying to call back in.
Vice Chairman Sweet.
Mr. Vice Chairman, do you want to wait for one moment? Commissioner Coleman may be trying to call back in.
You're on mute, Vice Chairman Sweet, if you're trying to speak.
I'm back on. Sorry about that.
All right. Mr. Vice Chairman, do you want to take the vote again on the motion?
Hello.
Hello, this is David Sweet. I'm back. Commissioner Coleman, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Good. Madam Secretary, am I reconnected to the meeting?
Yes, you are, sir.
Okay.
Do you want to take the vote again on the chairman's motion?
Yes, because when I lost contact trying to, in my own inept way, deal with technology and get Commissioner Coleman, I knocked myself off the call. Where we left it was there were three votes in favor of the chair's motion, and Commissioner Coleman, we were attempting to discern your vote.
Yeah, my apology. I vote in favor of the motion.
Thank you. The vote then on the motion is 4-0, and without objection, we'll take the same roll call on final passage of the matter as amended by the chair's motion. Is there any objection to that?
No objection.
Hearing, I'm sorry?
No objection.
Okay. Hearing none, the matter as amended is adopted 4-0. And, Madam Chair, I apologize for the hiccup. And we know why you're the chair and I'm not, because you are much more adroit at many matters, including conducting these telephonic meetings. But the gavel is back to you.
But thank you. do we have any other matters to come before us, Madam Secretary?
No, Madam Chairman and Commissioners, that concludes all agenda items to be considered today.
Thank you. Before we adjourn, I do want to recognize October as Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and I do have comments to place on the record. As you know, October means more than just the arrival of cooler weather and fall colors. It's also National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So every October, we join with organizations across the country to discuss growing cyber threats and remind everyone about best cybersecurity practices. We all play a role in cybersecurity at home and at work. And as we continue to grapple with the global COVID-19 pandemic, concerns about cybersecurity at home and work are increasing the same because for many people, home has also become a remote workplace. Plus, many families are now involved in remote learning. So the internet connections and devices we all share at home for entertainment could also now also impact how we work and how we attend school. That makes it even more important for everyone to follow good cybersecurity practices. This year's National Cybersecurity Campaign theme is Do Your Part, Be Cyber Smart. We encourage you to review educational materials and tips from the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which are linked from the PUC's website and remain vigilant all online. Also want to make note of the ongoing work being done by the state public utility commissions across the country to address cybersecurity in the utility sector. Our utility systems, including electric, natural gas, water, telecommunications, and transportation networks, are keys to keeping our community safe and productive, which makes them prime targets for bad actors. Recently, I joined other national leaders in a podcast discussion about global cyber threats to the utility sector, which is part of a project support by our National Utilities Regulators Organization, NARUC, and the United States Agency for International Development. If you're curious about our collaborative efforts to help other countries strengthen their cyber defenses in the utility sector and bring lessons learned back to the United States, you can also listen to that by following the links on our PUC website. So please do your part, be cyber smart, and stay safe and secure online. We thank everyone for joining us for our public meeting today. Just want to remind everyone that the public meeting motions, statements, and audio will be available on the Commission's COVID-19 webpage later today. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Coleman, so moved.
Sweet, second.
Motion to adjourn by Commissioner Coleman with a second by Vice Chairman Sweet. Any objection? Everyone, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.